Our tech guru, Jesse Feiler, joins us this morning to discuss lots of things: social media, elections, politics, technology. Jesse helps people and organizations get to know and use new technologies. Projects have included building the page caching module for the Prodigy web browser for Mac in the very early days of the web, location-based apps for iPhone and iOS, as well as books and classes on new technologies. Forthcoming books include iPad for Seniors for Dummies, the 9th edition, and Learn Apple HomeKit on the Mac and iOS. And it is always a great pleasure to welcome Jesse Feiler to our program this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Well, it's great to be here.
A delight to have you here. So, is it true that social media played a huge role in the election?
I think most people would say yes.
Yes.
I mean, it's one of the questions that I have is, I think most people would agree it played a major role in the election. The big question is, are we just sort of noticing it? Does it play a larger role than we thought in our society at large? And I think that's a fair question. And one of the changes that I've noticed, and I think other people have noticed, is that the people, when social media started, which wasn't all that long ago, it was used by a small group of people who were very comfortable with technologies and exploring new things.
Yep.
It's a really small, relatively small group of people, but now it's become quite mainstream. I mean, it seems as if almost everyone is either using it or knows about it. So that's one of the things that I think has happened, that it's moved really to the center, and we may have to start rethinking two things. One is the people who use social media are no longer an outlying group. I think they're everyone. And they are not divided in the ways in which we thought they were a few years ago. So that's what I think is happening. It's here and it's bigger.
So let's talk about the news item, and that many people said that Facebook in particular were questioning what role Facebook had in the election's outcome. Facebook's top executives concluded that they should address the issue and assuage staff concerns at a meeting. They also called a smaller meeting with the company's policy team. And so basically, Facebook has been in the eye of a storm after the election, with accusations that it helped spread misinformation and fake news stories that influence how the American electorate voted. And a lot of this came from concern about sites that were perceived to be news sites or have accurate information that was not accurate. And so we'll get into their response in a second, but it still comes down to someone sharing information that you are interested in, or you wouldn't be getting it in the first place, right?
Presumably.
And also that it is your job, as with anything, to understand whether you believe it or not.
Who is you?
Meaning me,
the consumer.
Receiver, yes, yeah. the consumer.
Yes.
So if I see that my friend Nancy posted this thing, and I look at the article, then it's on me to say, oh, thank you, Nancy, that was lovely, I did not know this, or gee, Nancy, did you see that this was from 2 years ago and has nothing to do with what we're talking about?
Right. Yeah.
That's on us.
I think so, and I totally agree with that, because the issue that we're still sort of adjusting to, as we do after every election, in fact, we're adjusting to the results of the election, and people have to settle down for a little bit. And I think it's going to be a little while before we can really look at this, and I think people are out there scribbling away at proposals for dissertations and research grants now that will help us understand all of this. And then, of course, we'll question those documents. But I think one of the things that sticks out in all of the discussions, and in fact what we know about this, is that you're right when you say it's on the receiver of the information to question its validity. Do I trust Nancy or do I trust someone else? But also, a lot of the things that are going on are we've delegated the selection and the curation and the editing, in fact, of items to technology. And the idea sort of is that artificial intelligence and crowdsourcing and all of these things will help sort of weed out the outlying stories that are perhaps false.
Mm.
And maybe that is either not working, or people are relying on it too much, or we just have to start adjusting to it. I don't know if that makes sense, but
it does.
And because one of the examples that I often give about we should used to have, and in fact still do have, lots of cues that help us understand whether information and news items, for example, are true or not. I have, although I've lost it now, I have a, it used to be a prized possession of mine, which was a reputable news publication, on the cover of which were photos of 8 members of Congress. And the headline on this phenomenally reputable publication, which I picked up in the supermarket checkout line. Can you tell that I'm getting towards the cues that give us?
Right.
And the headline was that these 8 members of Congress are known to be space aliens. Now, if I had been one of those members of Congress or worked in one of those offices, I would have immediately run out and gotten a clean copy of it and had it framed.
Absolutely.
And I'll bet on Capitol Hill today there are still framed copies of that. I mean, that's the way many people would react to the news that these 8 people in Congress are space aliens.
Yes.
And the cues that we have for making that judgment are the name of the publication. I can't remember which one. I think it's the one that went out of business.
The Weekly World or whatever.
Whichever. The location for it. Now, I'm not casting aspersions against everything that's for sale in the checkout line in a supermarket.
Right.
But all of these things added together, and the fact that I don't think when they say these 8 members of Congress are space aliens, I looked at the names, I recognized them. It was not a partisan thing because some were from one party, some were from the other. But in looking at it, I'm afraid that my reaction was, I don't think these people are space aliens. And if there are 8...
And seriously, only 8?
Well, yeah. I would... If you said there are 8 members of Congress who are known to be space aliens...
Yeah.
I would have picked a different 8.
Okay. All right.
So those were all ways of evaluating...
Sure.
...the news. And I think in this world where we get our news on devices... not in supermarket checkout lines. We have to sort of learn what the cues are.
It seems that we go through this with every new wave of technology, whether
yes.
it be radio, television, whether it be the internet, email, and now, of course, all the apps and various social media. That there has to be a certain amount of media education as to what is going on. And we're not real good at that as a society, but, you know, that I go through this with my students all the time where you say, okay, why did the Today Show spend 40 minutes talking about this new movie? Does it have anything to do with that they're owned by Universal, who happens to be putting out the movie? So is that information that you should know? Well, okay, yeah, you could argue that yes, that's information you should know. So that media education seems as important now in this regard than it does with any other technology that we've gone through. So Facebook outwardly defended itself as nonpartisan and an information source. Mark Zuckerberg, chairman and chief executive, said last week, the Facebook affecting the election was, quote, a pretty crazy idea. Many company executives and employees have been asking one another if or how they shape the minds, opinions, and votes of Americans. Some employees are worried about the spread of racist and so-called alt-right memes across the network, according to interviews with 10 current and former Facebook employees. Others are asking whether they contributed to a filter bubble among users who largely interact with people who share the same beliefs. So that's the question I have for you, is the idea of what a filter bubble is and how much of it then is on Facebook, because you are, they're trying to get you the information that they think you are the most interested in, right? Should, is it naive of us, rephrase, is it naive of me to think that their motive is no more than that?
Well, following along the idea of questioning sources and where you get news from, I heard when I was coming down here on the radio something that I thought was quite relevant. And I'll give you the sources. It was WAMC and Morning Edition.
Okay.
So I have a certain degree of
comfort. You trust that source.
Yes. And the comment was that someone made, I think it was on Morning Edition, someone says, you know, the question of whether, and I think Facebook is being singled out to a certain extent because they're the biggest and the most visible social medium in this case. But how can they say, on the one hand, when they're selling ads on sponsored stories, when they're making a very large amount of money from presenting information, how can they say that it is not moving people to action? How can Facebook say that they are not moving people to action when they are selling placements of stories in order to move people to action? That was, I think, a very interesting point. I think that you're right. The two biggest problems, I think, we have to come to grips with how to use the new media. And yes, we're not really good at educating people. And one of the things that we're doing is, if you look at, there are courses and classes in how to use new media that you can find all over the place. And they're woefully out of date.
Yeah.
That's a real, real problem, that we're still teaching people how to use the technology that we had 20 years ago, or even 10 years ago. That's a really, really serious problem. We have to update our training across the board, everywhere from schools to libraries to, we just have to do that.
So if I don't know that the calls would be as rampant, but if, let's say, Hillary Clinton won the Electoral College and was elected president, then would we have heard it from the other side
yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So I mean, it's but that's sort of the whole point of all of this. For example, when you go onto Amazon and they say, well, you have ordered this, this, and this, so maybe you'll like this, this, and that. Well, this is pretty much the same thing, isn't it? Isn't that the filter that we're looking at?
And it's because people are living in bubbles, as they have since the days when they were living in caves, and they're socializing with often like-minded people, I think it is not something that's inherently different, really, today than it was before. But we have to learn how to deal with the media. And we also have to look, I do think we have to look at the automated tools that we're using, because I think some of the automated curation and editing tools, and this is just a guess on my part, I think they may have some built-in biases, not in the way in which we're seeing stories now. Oh, they're screening out liberal and progressive stories. They're screening out conservative stories. I don't think in that way. I think we may have some traditional, I would say even bugs, where there isn't a full enough understanding of the code that we're running to do our editing. And that's true of all code. It's true of code that runs, this is a harsh thing to say, but it's a code that runs the automated teller machines. There are bugs in it.
Yeah.
We hope that by now we've gotten most of them out. But we do need to review how we are automating our screening and curating of editorial content, of information, and make certain that it's functioning the way we think it is.
Is it, again, correct me if this seems naive, but when you look at an election result and people look at an election result that they like or they don't like, and they it seems that, and I guess I agree with Mark Zuckerberg a bit, that sure, there's bugs and there's things that go, but it does seem a pretty crazy idea to blame a social media source for the outcome of an election.
Yeah. I mean, I think there are things to be looked at, you know, but I think there are some valid points that have been raised. But we know that we don't know what the connection between social media and action is. We just absolutely do not know that.
All right, say that again so I understand.
We don't know what the connection between social media and action is.
Right. Because that it, implicit in that is the idea that it's not just one thing, that it would be a layered of not just what Nancy sent, but what Bill and Tom sent as well, right?
Yeah, but we don't know how. The story I always give was I think from the 2008 Obama election, where people were saying early on, that was the first one where we really used social media. Obama has over 1 million likes. And I think it was John McCain had only 200,000 likes. And that obviously is showing how people feel. And I used to, when people would bring that up, I would say to them, yes, McCain has 150,000. Obama has over 1 million. And President Gaga has 12 million. So where, what is the formula for translating a like or 1 million likes into votes or albums sold or whatever? We don't
right.
know that.
We don't know that. And I understand that. And it still seems to me, though, that because I'm a regular Facebook user and I see the things and I look at it and I say, well, OK, then sometimes you can look at something that somebody sends and say, oh, poor Grace has gone a little bit off the bend, hasn't she?
Yes.
And you know, you'll even remove it or just move on, right? And or you'll say, oh, that seems interesting. This is something that I want to read. But you process it as you would any.
You should. And source. One of the things that a lot of people don't do is to use the tools that we have. If we're going to use Facebook properly, you can say, oh, you know, Grace has gone off the deep end. But we also have the ability to say, you know, I don't want to see anything more from Grace.
Yeah.
And Grace on Facebook, Grace doesn't find out that you've said that.
Yes.
So it's just like, you know, many of us have learned how to cross to the other side of the street when we see certain people.
Well, yes, we have. Right.
You know, I mean, and...
Oh, there's Margaret. Maybe I suddenly have to go into the bakery and get some bread.
Yeah.
So I don't have to talk to her.
Yeah. And how is that different from unfriending someone on Facebook?
It isn't.
Except you get bread.
At the end of the day, you have bread.
We have to, I mean, I think we have to, in a way, maybe what we have to do is start treating technology the way we treat the rest of life.
And I don't want to seem like I'm dismissing out of hand or poo-pooing the idea entirely. I think you're exactly right. I agree with you that there's certainly things there that we have to look at, and certainly things that we have to correct and address. But also, a lot of this is on us.
Yeah, and it is on us, and I think it's also because there is a great animosity and suspicion of things like media and technology. So people are very happy to say, "Well, the whole election was screwed up because of that damn technology."
Right. Jesse Feiler has put together an incredible list of links on his website. If you go to northcountryconsulting.com, he always does his homework for us, and we appreciate it. Some really great articles about all of this, and so you can read more and become more knowledgeable about what's going on. Jesse provides consulting services to small businesses and nonprofits. Again, his website is northcountryconsulting.com. Jesse, it's always a great pleasure to have you with us. Thank you.
Great to be here.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.